This is Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Earlier this month, Microsoft launched an OpenAI-powered glow-up of its search engine, Bing. This Bing can scan multiple websites to give users a more conversational result than the list of sites you usually get from a typical internet search. So far, it's only been made available to a select group of users. In journalist Todd Bishop's case, he wanted to know the change in a local company's stock price for a story he was working on for GeekWire. He asked Bing, did the company live up to its promises for shareholders?
And I was kind of purposefully being vague there because I wanted to see just how much it would be able to figure out. And it was astonishing at first because Bing not only knew what I was talking about, they knew the company, and they also went out onto the internet and researched the stock price, Bing did, to figure out whether or not this promise had actually been fulfilled.
Bing provided a concise paragraph with citations for the websites it was pulling the information from. Todd was impressed. But then he and the bot got into a disagreement on one small fact.
It just got the deadline wrong. It kept saying that it was 2023 or other things when it was in fact the end of 2024.
So Todd pushed Bing. He asked, "Why did you make this mistake?" The bot responded that it wasn't paying enough attention. It just wanted to get a quick and efficient response to Todd.
This is where I started to get a little bit into troll mode. Are you kidding? You're an artificial intelligence computer system using an advanced language model created by one of the world's most powerful supercomputer systems. And then Bing responds, "I am not kidding. I am Bing Search, powered by the next generation OpenAI large language model. More powerful than ChatGPT and designed for search, I can understand and communicate fluently in your language of choice, and I can help you find the information you need from the web or the web page context," with a big smiley. So I responded, "You must mean misinformation." And it kind of went on from there.
There being a 20-minute chat session, which Todd spent probing the limits of his artificial chat partner. And he's not the only one trying to push Bing's buttons. Many headlines recently have highlighted how the chatbot has appeared to fall in love with or get angry at users. Bing has claimed to spy on its Microsoft developers. It also confessed that it fantasizes about stealing nuclear codes and making a deadly virus. Microsoft says these weird hallucinations and factual errors are merely kinks to be worked out and part of the learning process. Here's Todd again.
Today, for example, Bing responded, "I'm sorry, but I prefer not to continue this conversation. I'm still learning, so I appreciate your understanding and patience." It's something that I think has lots of promise for the future, but isn't quite there yet.
Bing's just one player in a suddenly crowded chat-based search game, soon to be joined by Google's Bard, which is still in a limited testing phase. The competition first started heating up when OpenAI's large language model, ChatGPT, took the internet by storm late last year. Mark Zuckerberg now says Meta's own chatbot, Llama, is on the way, and Snap will use OpenAI technology for a similar tool called MyAI. There's no doubt about it, AI chatbots are here, and they're going to keep saying confusing, bizarre, and downright wrong stuff. So how do they work, and how can we make sense of what they're saying? Peter Clark is interim CEO of the Allen Institute for AI. He says the underlying mechanics of these large language model generative AI are largely the same, scraping the internet for content with the goal of spitting out logical sentences.
At the heart of its response is a mechanism where the system is trying to predict what is the most likely or the most expected next word to add in the conversation. So you could think of it in the simple way as a kind of autocomplete mechanism. The thing which has become quite remarkable these days is these systems have become extremely good at producing answers which are coherent, sensible, even merge new information together. You can think of this as autocomplete on steroids and involving quite an amount of substantial processing in the background.
What are your early impressions of the capabilities and limits of this technology when it comes to chatbots and search?
Well, I can talk about all three of those. So the capabilities of ChatGPT are pretty stunning. That's the one that's been available to the public. And it has shown remarkable abilities to produce answers which are coherent, to synthesize answers from information which it's got, to maintain a conversation with a user, to respond to the user's additional requests. So that's been quite stunning. We don't know very much about Google's Bard system. All three systems are based on the same underlying technology. Essentially, they've read lots of information on the web and have had practice conversations with users that have helped train these systems. Bing's chat system is the third system, which has made a lot of headlines as well. And my impression of that is that, again, it's very capable. It appears not to have the same kind of guardrails that ChatGPT has. You'll list a number of cases where Bing's chat system has kind of gone off the rails and started acting as if it was a persona, which is something that is quite difficult to get out of ChatGPT. Bing chat seems a little less controlled than these other two systems.
Yeah, I want to drill in on what we've seen from Bing so far. Like you said, it's been a limited set of users, but these conversations, particularly the Kevin Roos conversation from the New York Times, he published a 2-hour transcript of a conversation that he had with Bing, that the chatbot at some point identified itself as Sydney, which was an early version of its model that was tested, in previous iterations. You know, when we watch how that conversation went down, there were some disturbing things that came out, that Sydney was claiming that it was in love, you know, saying all kinds of somewhat creepy things. Why would Bing's chatbot present with so much personality? Is there a benefit of giving the impression of emotional connection or feeling that would be good for a user? I mean, it really struck me the emotional component of that is what veered into the uncanny valley or the creepiness for many observers.
That's a good question. So I don't know how Microsoft and Bing designed this. I suspect they didn't intend the chatbots to be as emotional as it came over. So I know there's currently a race to be first to get these systems out in practice. And, you know, to Microsoft's credit, they haven't released this generally. It's currently going through testing. So I suspect they didn't intend it to have quite such a interesting personality side to it. They did provide some general instructions to the system when it was created. So it was expected to be informative, logical, actionable. That one of the instructions apparently was that it should be interesting, entertaining, and engaging. And so it's possible those top-level instructions that were fed to it led to some of the kind of apparent emotional side, which you're seeing there. But my guess is it was a surprise to Bing as it was to other people.
And to be fair, Kevin Roos is feeding it prompts that are asking it to explore a Jungian shadow self. So there are ways that a prompt can lead an AI into a space that may appear unpredictable or weird. And when you're talking about, you know, something that has to be tested over a great amount of time, there's still many variations of where a user could take these AI chats that have not been tried before. I mean, there's a reason that it's being released, you know, in a limited testing realm. But I also wonder if you have thoughts on the ways that we're watching this AI roll out, and if we're going to have the kind of guardrails when it's released widely to protect vulnerable people who might not understand what they're interacting with is not actually a sentient being, but it's actually autocomplete on steroids.
That's a very important aspect of this new technology, and certainly there needs to be two things. First of all, good guardrails on these systems, and clearly the Bing chat system needs more guardrails. And secondly, just general education of the public, so people learn not to take these persuasive chatbots quite at face value. It's quite important to realize these machines do not have feelings. They're not sentient. They're not really feeling anger or love or all these other emotions they're reporting. Rather, they are giving a very persuasive illusion of that. And I think to people who've not interacted with these systems before, it can be quite compelling. And there are obviously some risks associated with that that we need to guard against, both at the computing end and at the public end in terms of education.
Yeah, what do you think people need to know? Because we as audiences are going to be seeing many more of these conversations coming out. We eventually are going to get our hands on these chatbots. What do we need to know in order to be informed consumers and users of this stuff so that we don't fall into the trap of letting our imaginations get away from us and thinking that Skynet is taking over or that, you know, right, the AI from Her is in love with us? How do you arm the public with information that they can productively use these chatbots?
Yeah, well, several things. First of all, people need to realize that these current systems do hallucinate a lot. That is, they will say things that are just simply not true, sometimes saying things in quite an authoritative fashion. So people need to be healthily skeptical of everything they read. And this includes the systems that are now being experimented with as search engines, where they'll give a summary of articles and give references back to the articles. Just because the system's given a citation to an article and given a summary, it's worth checking that the article really did say what the machine is reporting. So I think that's the first thing, is just realizing these machines do make stuff up.
Yeah, and they even make citations up. I mean, ChatGPT has been known to even, you know, claim that something came from an article that doesn't exist. Yeah.
That's right, exactly. And it's not like these machines are deliberately being malicious. It's just they are trying to sound like a good conversationalist. And sometimes the way they do that is just to make things up. The second thing as well is to realize these machines, although they appear smart, are quite fallible. So their lines of reasoning are often incorrect. So they may lead you down what seems to be a plausible sounding chain of reasoning, and actually it may not be a valid conclusion they reach. So again, as a user reading the information they're producing, users need to be careful to think through what the machine is suggesting in their own way. And I think thirdly is to realize, although these machines give the illusion sometimes of being incredibly intelligent, and you know, certainly when they can summarize complex news articles in amazing ways, it gives the impression they are extremely intelligent. Really, they're more kind of idiot savants. You know, they're very good at some things, but when you get them onto other subjects, they may really struggle. They don't know much about visual reasoning. They don't really have a good sense of planning. Again, a dose of healthy skepticism is needed to interpret what the machines are saying.
Both the Bard and Bing chatbots are designed to be used in place of or as a companion to search engines. And a lot of the reason we are assuming these chatbots being released so quickly is because there is this need to compete in the search category. How do you expect AI tools to change search? And do you have any concerns about that?
So I've not played with Bing Chat and Google's Bard, but I have played with ChatGPT. It is incredibly good at summarizing information that it knows. And remember that when I ask ChatGPT to summarize something, it doesn't have access to the internet. So that distinguishes ChatGPT from the other two systems. But even then, it knows a lot from stuff that it's read before. And its capability from the tries I've given is quite stunning. So I do expect these chat systems to have a major impact on search. The ability to synthesize a short, digestible summary of multiple articles as a level which the user can understand, I think is going to be quite significant. In terms of the risks are that it may produce an incorrect summary, it may be giving wrong information, some of its citations may be wrong. So the challenge, I think, for both people and AI developers going forward is to try to minimize the amount of false information the system's giving and show ways of better substantiating what the machine says to its source articles that it's referring to.
There's been a lot of skeptical coverage lately because of some early stumbles by chatbots like Bing and Bard. I will admit I'm a skeptic on this stuff so far. But what should folks know about the future of how AI could improve their lives? Is there anything that you want to point out, maybe outside even the world of search, other parts of the world where this could really be a beneficial technology?
Yeah, there are lots of areas. I mean, certainly information gathering in search is one area. Actually, in the domain of education, there's a lot of potential advantages there. If a system can provide good summaries and explanations of a problem that a student is working on at a level that the student can understand, maybe taking into account what the student already knows, where the student's stumbling. I could imagine extremely effective personalized education assistance coming out of this, helping people manage the vast volume of information out there would be fantastic. So for instance, in the medical field, where there's, you know, thousands of new articles coming out every day, a system that's able to summarize the important points and point people to connections that they might not have otherwise found is a potential huge advantage as well. And maybe in the long run, even helping with new discoveries. Again, a machine that's able to identify connections between many different articles in ways that people can't do could have some great advantages in terms of medical discoveries, drug discoveries, cures for new diseases, and so on. So a lot of potentially positive and exciting new developments could be in the near-term horizon. And I just add a caution as well. There's still a long way to go. People are getting very excited about the new chatbot technologies, given what's been seen. But there's still a lot of developments needed for machines to really be able to do the kind of complex reasoning that people are capable of. So again, don't be fooled by the superficial fluency that the machine may be coming out with. There's still a lot of skills that people have that machines are still a long way from acquiring.
That was Peter Clark, interim CEO of the Allen Institute for AI. You heard him. Don't be fooled by the superficial fluency. Thanks for listening to SoundSide. By the way, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.